Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News, and possibly time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. Have I mentioned how much I hate 2020? Laura Turbide is here. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. How are you, Ted?
I'm doing well, but Helen Kelly is trying valiantly to connect and having no luck so far. So,
good news is she's in my next door office, so she's my neighbor, and she's here with me masked.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
We both are together okay. And masked, but we could not get in via the dial.
All right. Sorry about that.
Happy 2020.
Oh, yeah. Well, someday the vaccine's coming, so it's I can't wait for Zoom deletion day all across the country. I shouldn't say that because it's made it so that we can do these things. Laura, before we talk about Helen and the foundation, can you give us any kind of update? How are people coping at Huntington Living Center? They've gone through a run of bad luck here of late and have had to impose a lot of restrictions.
Absolutely. I think most importantly, clearly, the families of people who've been impacted are, I think, first and foremost on our minds, of course. We know that it's already a struggle when people can't see their loved ones. Then on top of it, to have families lose loved ones is exactly, we're here for the opposite, as you can imagine. So our staff is taking this quite to heart, as you can imagine. They're beloved residents, they're people who they are really like chosen family for them. So our staff is working. I guess second up, of course, is just the devotion that you have to have as a long-term care staff member. You see a lot of loss anyway, but I don't think that they have been prepared for who could be, right, for this kind of pandemic and this kind of loss that you would feel all at once. But they are devoted, they're stepping up, they're covering each other as staff are out either quarantined or ill themselves because of community spread, which is sort of how this has all been occurring. We've found that they are just, speaking of Valiant, they are the folks who are just stepping up in ways that I think they didn't know they even had. They, you know, the people say dig deep and then dig deeper. They're covering each other. We have staff from other facilities coming to offer to help. We have had, big bins of treats sent from the Homestead team to, help make sure that staff can have waters. And, our administrative team is trying to support, as well as their long-term care leadership team. But certainly we know CNAs, nutritional service aides, facilities team, countless people, activities, social workers, everyone is stepping in to offer the talents they can to help get through this. And as I said, most importantly, I think our minds are with families who don't see their loved ones right now, as well as people who've lost loved ones. And we're all absolutely ready for this vaccine.
The other thing is the state's metric has now shifted to focus on hospitalization and hospital capacity. What can you tell us about Geneva General and Soldiers and Sailors and how they're looking?
We certainly have seen, an increase, as we shared, I think, more recently. We've seen an increase at one point. I don't have the exact number for today, but on average, about 40% of our census has been patients who have been tested positive for COVID. So that is an increase from where we were earlier in the pandemic. We still do have capacity. We are reporting to the state on a daily basis to have, related to our capacity. I think what people may know and may not is it's not just about how many beds you have, but it's how many beds you can staff. So really, anything the community can do to mask, social distance, and diminish the spread of this community-wide really allows us to ensure our staff is safe and that our staff can continue to come into work and care for people. Because it's not about how many, you can have beds all over, but if you don't have the staff who's able to come in and care for them because perhaps they themselves have had to be quarantined, that's when we find ourselves really in a tight situation. So at this point, we are okay. We do have capacity. And again, similar to the long-term care side, the acute care side at both Soldiers and Sailors in Geneva, people are stepping up, people are taking shifts, people are working doubles. Shout out to some respiratory therapists, as well as nurses and others who are really on the front lines here, who, for example, stayed and slept overnight, physicians, respiratory therapists, nurses, sleeping overnight in order to pull multiple shifts. And I can't explain enough how perhaps this isn't visible to the public, but we are seeing it here every single day. So I just want to say hats off. I'm very humbled to be working with these folks who are this dedicated. And I hope that the community will continue to do what they can to keep themselves safe and in turn keep our employees able to care for them.
Our focus today is on financially supporting that work through the Finger Lakes Health Foundation. So give a big introduction to Helen Kelly.
I will. I love it when I have such good news to share, but also I think to talk about the positives. So we've talked a lot about, so one silver lining of COVID has sort of been Zoom. We've all figured ways to connect with each other. Another real silver lining has been to see the sincerity and the heartfelt support of our community, whether it's signs that have been put out front about heroes work here. I have a little picture on my desk just from that just recently, whether it's been meals delivered, as well as financial support, PPE early on. And I really want to introduce Helen as someone who's just been a champion for this. I do not think she signed on initially to be the PPE queen, but that is her, has been her role here, meeting people at the dock early on in this pandemic, counting masks, and then obviously been so creative to bring in so many resources at a time that we most need them. So she's been very creative in terms of writing for grants outside of our organization and outside of our region to bring resources into the region. So I just want to say Helen Kelly came to us a couple years ago now. It feels like longer than that. It feels like just yesterday. It also feels like longer. So I'm very grateful she had some experience both in a Catholic school fundraising as well as legal aid fundraising. She does drive quite a distance to be with us every day. She's based in Syracuse at home, but really her other home is here in our Bennett House. So I just want to say thanks to Helen as our director of development, who's brought lots of new energy, lots of new ideas, and has had a lot of success. So we are thankful to our community, and I'm also thankful to Helen. So I'll let you talk to her a little bit more about what's been happening this year and what we fundraised for and what we still need.
All right. Good morning, Helen. It's good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. There is a rule that when two or more Rotarians gather on the radio, we have to say hello to Johnny O. So hello, Johnny O.
Hi, Johnny O.
There we go. So let's talk about what the foundation does to support the work of Finger Lakes Health and what you do heading the foundation.
Well, so Lara summed up a lot of what I've been doing most recently, which is kind of coordinating the overwhelming community support to fight COVID, as she said, with meals being delivered and PPE being donated, and not only donated, but made in facilities. Facilities pivoted early on, and dentist offices and other places that began to create face shields for us. All of that was hugely gratifying to see the community step up and support this particular need. We've also done some real targeted fundraising this year. One of the highlights of my year is being able to build a new playground at the child care center, at the Jim Dooley Center for Early Learning. The community really stepped up through not only supporting us in previous cubby chases, but in giving days that we held and some business support, and we were able to build a brand new developmentally appropriate playground for our preschoolers at the Jim Dooley Center. You know, kids are really impacted very, very severely by COVID, not being able to gather with their friends, not being able to play the way they used to. And we're so grateful that we have this brand new equipment. We are still fundraising for the toddler piece of the playground. Our little 2 and 3 year olds are very jealous now with their little faces pressed to the windows watching their older friends play on their new playground. So there's an opportunity there for people to support that. We've also opened recently our new it's Soldiers and Sailors Health Center at the Soldiers and Sailors Hospital, where we brought together two practices, the Keuka Family Medicine and Preemption Family Medicine, into one-stop shopping on our second floor in Soldiers and Sailors. And we were able to bring some grant support from the Daisy Marquis Foundation to purchase medical equipment for that. So our folks and our community down in Penyan will have easy access to all of their care, both primary care and ultrasound and radiology and et cetera. So we're very excited about that. We still have a lot of need. The pandemic has not only affected our staffing, but it's also affected our ability to purchase PPE. There are unfortunately bad actors out there who have price gouged severely our some of our PPE, especially the N95 masks, which are very difficult to get. So we've had to, and per the mandates from the Department of Health, we have to have a certain 90-day supply in our hospitals, and in order to be able to do that, we've spent quite a bit. It's been a real financial burden, In addition to that, our testing for our long-term care specifically, we are mandated to now test once a week. We actually test twice a week in many cases because we want to be super safe. And that is a mandate, but it's not funded. We cover the cost of much of that. So I don't know that people understand really how difficult the financial burden this pandemic has put on us. Again, not only from our employee standpoint, but to cover the cost to just safely take care of our community. So we really need help right now.
And on the order of magnitude, I think I was even surprised, and I don't want to get the number exactly. I want to get the number exactly right. I believe we are looking at last month alone about $177,000 just for gloves. So when we start talking about what are the true costs and what community hospitals are facing in terms of $177,000 just for the gloves that we need in order to be able to safely deliver care, and you add that exponentially to the cost of gowns, to the cost of our regular care, to the cost of paying, for example, staff incentives to have people work additional shifts. As you can imagine, as Helen said, the burden has been great and the community has stepped up, but the need is real. It is real every single day here, and we are still really grateful and urging our community, if they have the financial means, to help contribute to keep access to care local and ensure that we have the things that we need and offset some of these huge losses and costs that we're facing.
I want to ask Helen about fundraising during a pandemic. On one hand, some people don't have the money that they would normally have. They've lost jobs or had income cut. On the other hand, one of the things this pandemic has done is draw attention to what frontline health workers do, and all of a sudden people are going, hey, yeah, these people are pretty awesome.
Actually, it's been a dichotomous kind of year. Just as you said, it's what I consider emergency fundraising, which mobilizes people to understand our needs and to be able to emote with us about how important we are, what a service we provide for our community, and what our challenges are. In terms of, fundraising is not about the $100,000 gifts. It's about the $5, $10, and $15 gifts that people can spare. This time specifically, in memory or in honor of somebody they've lost or somebody who's gone through the illness, in addition to honoring some healthcare workers who have helped their family members along.
Helen, I want to jump in here because we got just a little bit of time left and get right to some of the ways. How can people support the Finger Lakes Health Foundation?
So if you want to give a cash gift or a check, you can mail it to 186 North Street to Attention the Foundation. You can go on our website, flhealth.org, and make a donation there. We have people who are giving appreciated gifts of stock, which is very key right now. A lot of people are cash poor, but the stock market, ironically, has been doing fabulously. So in order to avoid tax burdensome taxes, you can actually give us appreciated stock, and we lovingly accept that. You can put us in as a beneficiary of IRAs or in as beneficiary of life insurance policies. We take pretty much anything except maybe a goat and a pig. And if anybody has any questions, I can be reached via phone at 315-787-4074. If anyone wants to explore a way to support us, I'm happy to chat with anyone about that. But we appreciate anything anyone can do at this time.
All right. Helen, you're amazing. We've known that since day one. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Ted.
Laura, thank you. Look forward to many, many more years of doing this.
Thank you, Ted. Take care.